Hello, and welcome to Spellcast episode 32. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andrea.
Greetings, friends. Now, long awaited, we are finally going to discuss with you the seven chakras, the Sanskrit wheels, the energy in which our body and our being and our essences are entirely composed of, essentially the rainbow upside down. And joining us for this as, you know, a guest, one of our usual guests, our other coven member, please introduce yourself, my friend.
Hello, everyone. This is Ignatius. How are you all doing?
They can't really answer you, but I'm sure they're doing fine. Thanks for joining us, though. He actually is really very knowledgeable on the chakras, and so he's going to help discuss that with us. So where are we going to begin?
Well, I suppose we can begin by giving people some context. A big thing that we are going to, outside of our own knowledge, that we are going to draw a reference to, and we think that everyone who wants to learn in-depthly on the subject should consult, is this giant tome that Ignatius has made the investment in. I will let him once again introduce that.
So this tome that he speaks of is The Complete Book of Chakras. This author is Cindy Dale, and a phenomenal woman, I do have to say, and very eloquently put and knowledgeably put together this giant book. And when I say giant, I mean giant.
What is this dictionary giant?
Yeah, so we have something that is about, for reading purposes alone, at 826 pages long. That's not including the introduction stuff. Plus another, 120 pages of references, and there's just so much to it, and I've been working on this for about 2 years, 2.5 years now. I'm barely halfway through because it's just so thick, not only in the amount of pages, but the kind of information that comes about.
Yeah, so it's definitely a great reference book, something to have on hand. Definitely comparable to the Golden Dawn book. They are both very large tomes, but very knowledgeable. And it's published by Llewellyn's, which I will always recommend as a really good publishing company. If they publish a book on spirituality, magic, anything of the like, you will be guaranteed that it is good quality. All right, so who would like to start us off?
I suppose I will start off and give some basic foundational, generalizations. Well, general information, rather. I will sum it up, essentially what chakras are, give you the basic ideas of what each one governs, and then Ignatius will reference his tome and his personal knowledge to speak further on these subjects, and we will continue to converse depending on where it is the conversation leads. Now, the word chakra comes from the Sanskrit word wheel. The reason for this is because chakras are essentially focal points, wheels of energy that exist within the center of our being. These spinning wheels receive, regulate, and circulate life force energies within our bodies so that we can function on all levels and experience life in the fullest extent. They affect our physical being as well as our mental, emotional, and spiritual states and how they all coincide and harmonize with each other. We express our thoughts and feelings, both conscious and subconscious, through these energies. And some people like to separate the idea of chi meridians versus chakras. That's one or the other. But if you study them, they all go together. It's just when you combine systems, things become infinitely more elaborate. We will discuss chi meridians, however, at a different time. Now, there are seven major chakras that people talk about. Now, there are chakras outside of the body and in between chakras, but for this episode, we will talk more about the standard seven. Think literally the color spectrum, the rainbow turned upside down. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and then purple or a violet. And then other chakras come after that. We will again discuss that. But these are the main seven. And the first chakra, the root chakra, is called the Muladhara. The second chakra, the sacral chakra, is called the Svadhisthana. The third chakra is called the Manipura. The heart chakra is Anahata. The throat chakra is Vishuddha. The third eye chakra is, now I might be pronouncing this wrong, it's A-J-N-A, so Ajna, perhaps. Someone will correct me on that, I suppose.
Well, with that one, it does have an accent over it, so it's actually Ajna.
Yeah, oh, so almost like a tilde in Spanish. And the crown chakra, which is the... Sahasrara.
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 Making,
yes.
The pronunciation.
The root chakra is located at the base of the spine, governs those lower parts all the way to your legs, your feet on the ground. The sacral chakra, which is also known as the seat of the soul, affects your genitalia, your emotions, it is located right, literally, where the sacral is, that, the point, between your waist and your genitalia. The third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the Manipura, is located, some people say it's located by the belly button, other people say it's located literally right by the solar plexus. So that's right where you can drive the wind out of somebody if you were to drop your knee on them, jiu-jitsu martial artist speaking. The heart chakra, that one's pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, it's located in your rectum.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
The heart chakra is located in the heart chakra, friends.
In the heart chakra or in the heart?
In the heart. Slightly off-put to the left of the body, right underneath the lungs and all that other stuff.
God.
Above the diaphragm and the stomach, if you have not known already.
The throat chakra is in obviously the throat. The third eye chakra is the center of your forehead where the pineal gland is located, which controls your dreams and your natural output of DMT. Not the extras that you recreational folks add into your brain. Though, it's
the same, natural stuff.
Same substance. And the crown chakra is located out of the crown of your head. They have to do, they go in the order of numbers. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The root chakra has to do with the element of earth. The sacral chakra has to do with the element of water. The third chakra has to do with the element of fire. The fourth chakra, the element of air. The fifth chakra, I want to say, is the element of spirit or ether. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ignatius.
Well,
I know there's some discrepancies once we start to get into the higher vibrations.
Yeah, they are. There's a very wide combination of different things that people can interpret it as. They could also be saying as things where they'd use those base four, and then I think it was the Chinese element system where they use wood.
Wood and metal,
wood and
separating
metal, and
the other
that'd
elements of
be
Earth.
Contributing to the chakras, but I haven't really gone into depth with that one. So it's a plethora of things. Let's see if I can. I'll find it eventually when we're going through each of the chakras.
Fair
in
enough. So some people say this one is where spirit or ether comes to exist, because it's sound, and sound is the purest form of vibration, and we all exist as essentially different forms of vibration. We are all just a bunch of vibrating molecules and atoms that exist within the universe, and positive vibes will bring us upwards and negative vibes will bring us downwards, but not necessarily a linear way of thinking, because we need lower energies as well as higher energies to exist the way that we do. The third eye chakra, some people say, has to do with the element of light, or something of that nature, or inner light, or the combination of light and darkness. It really kind of depends. The third eye has to also do with the divine feminine. It is divine introspection. It helps you with psychic atonement is an entirely different. Yeah, we're not talking about Catholic habits in this one. Though one day we will. I suppose you can atone with your third eye, but I don't know. I guess cracking your head across on the hardest part of the table.
Oh.
That's not atoning. That's just self-abuse.
Yeah, atonement.
Oh my. Okay. No, don't do that at home, guys.
Yes, please. Disclaimer.
That's not how you get enlightenment. No.
I'm in a jokey mood today, friends.
If you do, then I just have to say, if you do follow that advice, then Yeah.
Yes, the third eye, you think about the symbols of the all-seeing eye, the symbols of the supposed Illuminati, the third eye helps.
Which we are not a part of, by the way.
Yes.
Though I've gotten messages.
That sounds awfully a lot like a person who would be in what the Illuminati would say.
Touché.
But yes, we'll help you unlock your psychic abilities, communicate with your darker sides, divine introspection, help you communicate with things that are, you know, very subconscious. And the seventh chakra will connect you to the universe and help the universe connect to you. It is who you are in relation to the universe and who the universe is in relation to you. It also connects with the divine masculine. We think the sun, whereas the third eye connects more with the idea of the moon. These are general ideas that surround these chakras, you know, these ideas, these energies that we have. The root chakra has to do with the god and planet Saturn.
Ether.
Ether, you found it. Oh, so
Vishuddha, backtrack. Vishuddha, which is the throat chakra. Ether.
Thank you.
It is ether. Fair enough. We think of the... we can combine a lot of this school of thought with alchemy, which is why I brought up Saturn, the planet Saturn, and, you know, the alchemical symbols that surround it. The alchemical symbol of Saturn is also lead, so which is a highly toxic substance.
Yeah, ironically.
But in the symbols, you know, the seven major, sequences, I suppose, for lack of a better word, that something has to go through to transform something completely.
Yes, yeah. You're basically, like, you're traveling up the chakras is what you're saying.
Yes, traveling up the chakras. It's kind of the same idea.
You're transforming yourself.
Yes, it's the seven things that something must go through to transform lead into gold carbon into diamond, essentially. And which is rooted a lot in science, friends. So the root chakra is aligned with Saturn, which aligns with lead. The sacral chakra aligns with Jupiter, which goes with tin. The third chakra with Mars, the god Mars and the planet Mars, coincides with iron. The fourth chakra, which coincides with Venus, is copper. Now, a good way to remember this is that Venus is the god of love, and... love is in your heart, and copper turns green when added with water, when exposed to water.
Element.
Yes, so all of those things together, that was an easy way how I remembered that copper had to do with Venus, and then the rest of them tend to follow suit. The throat chakra has to do with...
Mercury.
Obviously the communication center. Now, mercury, also known as quicksilver, a dangerous substance, but certainly needed in regards to science. The third eye chakra has to do with silver, which often coincides with the moon, which we have said in the past. And the seventh chakra coincides with gold, which coincides with the sun.
Yeah, that's all really cool. And I like that, you know, we're connecting it to alchemy as well, bringing in a couple other ideologies and stuff. And then you can really see how everything connects and how, like, cultural diffusion happens. Because people, when they started trading and everything... were exposed to different ways of thinking and could mold their ideas with the ideas of newcomers. And it really does help create a better, broader picture of all these kinds of things.
Yes, everything is infinitely connected. And each chakra actually does coincide with chi meridians, as I've said before. There are many reasons why all of these symbolisms tend to go together. There are also seven major days of the week, friends. Though they do not go in a direct order when dealing with the chakras. They sort of bounce around. But that goes back to the idea of how the hours of the planets work.
Oh, yes.
Which we discussed in a different correspondence episode.
Yeah.
That was actually... Was that the last one or was that the second to last one?
I think we talked about it in this last one.
Fair enough.
See what happens when we record out of order.
Fair enough.
I forget which one was which. But yes, it was either the second or the third.
The lower chakras, the first three, have to do with your primal energies and how you survive in this physical world. Many people only have these first three chakras activated. They do not have higher chakras activated. Most people that are worried about surviving day by day have a problem with faith, have a problem with understanding spiritual existentialism, transcendentalism, ideas like that, and connecting with the spiritual side.
And you can also see that in, like, education, too, because... when, well, me and Ignatius went to school for education as part of our degrees. So they always tell you that if a kid's basic needs aren't met, then they can't get to that next level of taking in higher thought and information and mm-hmm. critical thinking. So they, you have to make sure that they're fed and clothed and they have a warm place to stay. And so I think people really don't take that into account with education. And it's really anyone. I mean, even going into adulthood, if somebody isn't stable, which a lot of millennials, even though I don't like that term, and people our age, I mean, anyone really, I think it affects most people now in America. But if you're not stable, how are you to grasp that higher understanding and even think that it's worth your time? And it's completely understandable to think, to know that, like, to be like, okay, yeah, I get why you think it's not worth your time, because you are just trying to survive and you're trying to keep your body alive, and you know, there's no real room for thinking about your spirit. But that's why I think, I'm sure as a broader thing, which I don't know how much of a discussion we'll go into now, but you know, I think you guys would agree that living in America, we can really see that effect happening, like, in our country.
So let's talk for a moment about development then, especially given, you know, a combination of education and how people are in life. If you think about it, well, Cindy ends up talking about it quite a bit. It's been a while since I've actually read through it, so forgive me if the information is not 100% accurate, but she ends up breaking the chakras down during subsections of life. So during a certain part of your life, one chakra will actually activate to a great degree, and then you're able to go to the next and so on and so forth.
A product of the maturing process is what you're getting at.
Yes. Okay. Where the first chakra, she's mentioned several different kinds of schools of thought with this. One of them is where she explains that the first chakra is activated between birth and 6 months of age. That real development of, okay, well, this is where I am. And
motor skills.
Motor skills and parents having you develop that foundation. And the emotions come around 6 months to about 2 years old to maybe 2.5, where it's you start to feel these different kinds of emotions as a child and actually develop an aspect of, I want this. I know this gets me this. I know this gets me that. And you start to develop things like that.
It's there, like, under, because around 2 years old, it's like the understanding of the world. They're starting to finally take in, like, oh, I things that I do affect my environment.
Exactly. Between the ages of 2.5 to about 5 years old, that's when the third chakra starts to take hold. Again, this is all off of one of the viewpoints, but for the third chakra to come about, that's when you start having these terrible twos into the very stubborn, you know, bratty child that you kind of want to smack around. But
oh my God.
Depending
we're
on
not doing.
That
the
we're
emotions
not doing.
In the fire start to come out, and it makes complete sense.
Which, you know? I'm sure all parents can definitely agree on that one.
Well, so yes, but please don't Batista bomb your kid through a table. You know,
not what we're saying at all.
I think that was actually on the I think that was on the news. I saw someone did the Undertaker's, like, the last ride, and just, like, last rided him through a table.
Oh,
obviously the kid died. I mean, we're not trying. Yeah, it was actually pretty sad.
That's terrible parenting, right?
So
now.
Yes, disclaimer, friends, don't do that. You know,
just love your child through their sacral chakra growth. That's all.
Yes, if you are a person that doesn't, you know, we feel very strongly about this. Is that, you know, everyone makes jokes about, you know, how kids can drive you crazy. But here's the deal. If you are a person that is more predisposed to being annoyed by screaming and outbursts of emotion and things like that, that is actually a sign that you need to deal with some things in your chakras.
Yeah,
and how it is you are
receptive to that in a second. Actually, I'm going to get to that a little bit later on. But yeah, the third chakra, they get a little gutsy and they start to develop that aspect. During the fourth chakra, this is when you get into the between ages 5 and 7 to even 10, even for the ones that end up becoming a little bit more latent in their times of awakening, and they end up having the heart chakra opened up, where they start to have legitimate feelings, passions towards whatever empathy. It is, empathies towards other people, things that go on about in their lives to actually truly connect with the world instead of just with themselves. If you look at the first three chakras, they're of the mundane world, as what we were talking about before, Andreel, where they are of the earthly realms. And then you have the upper three, which is dealing with the ether, dealing with the metaphysical aspects of oneself. And the heart is that bridging point.
The gateway between the two realms. And doesn't that make poetic symbolism to the highest extent we can think of when we think of things like magic and energies that surround us, friends?
And the medium and the crossroads.
Well, yeah, and the crossroads and the fact that all entities, or at least most entities that are crossroad entities, have to do with the element of air. And actually, our own personal elements that we tend to work with a little bit more in our own coven. I mean, Courtney, tends to work. She is very attuned with earth and even possibly water. Ignatius, in case this wasn't obvious by his name, which is a combination of Ignatius and Lucius, the light, the fire, the energy, and Andreel, the man of wind and the crossroads and all that. So
makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. Going further up, as we said, with that bridging, we're pretty much bridging these gaps. That's from the heart chakra. Bridging these gaps from the physical to the metaphysical world, or even from inner self to external self. So that's how we end up starting to bridge a lot more gaps. The first three are fundamental for our own kinds of development to connect with the outside world. Now, when you come into contact with the throat chakra, which is the fifth one, Vishuddha, you have starting to play with the element of ether, as we were talking about before, as I so blatantly interrupted our wonderful time. I was like, oh, there it is. You have the throat chakra dealing with communication, everything like that. That becomes around age 10 to age 13, when what do prepubescent teens have the most trouble with but communicating with everyone?
And they talk a lot, and, it's...
They either talk too much or not talk enough.
Yep.
So you have that going on. And then you have going to Ajna, the third eye, where it's dealing with foresight. And when you're dealing with foresight, you have more of a tendency of dealing with things with religion. That's more so on the seventh chakra when you're dealing with oneness. But with foresight, you have to have some form of belief. You have to have some form of, questioning of society, of one's own beliefs, and so on and so forth. So that questioning aspect is coming into play come between 13 and 15, 16, where you really start to question things. And why is school here but to help us question? And those who do not understand that education is in place for people to actually just question things, not annoying, like, why is the sky blue? Why is the earth green? Blah, 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 where you, again, want to throw...
Critical thinking it's about.
Exactly. Through a table.
Oh my God.
Through a table.
Through a table, my God.
I have to tell you that you said foresight. This is going to be terrible. It's great, but not related to chakras at all. So Donna and Carrie from Paranormal Chicks, they have one of their sayings is foreshadowing the foreskin, and I just had to say it.
I knew you were going to say that. And what is that like a. So, like, oh God, what's the name of the ceremony where they. In Jewish lore, where they circumcise the child?
Oh, what the ceremony is actually called?
Yeah.
Oh,
foreshadowing the foreskin?
you make it sound like Dark Night of the Soul.
I do make it sound way more serious than they do, which might be funny also, but anyway.
God. Oh, no, I can't stop thinking about Quentin Tarantino circumcising a kid with a sword from Family Guy. That was hilarious.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks, Donna and Carrie. Anyway, so now that I hear anything with foreskin or foresight or foreshadowing, that's what I think of.
But please, when you regain your composure, Ignatius.
Sorry to just derail you. Go for it.
Yeah. So, as I was saying with the foresight...
Of what? Is it foreskin?
The foresight of the sixth chakra.
Yes.
Of the sixth chakra, or the third eye. I just had to give them the dirty look.
Things you can't see.
The times when they actually need video.
Yeah.
But anywho, We have the foresight with the third eye, and then we end up having that at around between the ages of 14, 15, 16. And then after you're done questioning everything and then you found a good foundation of the first six, you go into the seventh Sahasrara, where it's becoming one, really developing a spiritual connection with yourself or others. But that's just, again, off of one model at the age of 17, 18, 19, when the things really start to set in. But those are, like, very bare minimal, I feel, off of that one that one school of thought. There it is.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's also very flattering to say that somebody could get through the chakras by age 18. And I'm not saying people don't, because, I mean, hey, if you're set up for that, great. And hopefully that's a goal, is people can set their children up for that, is to really help them move through life like that. And, you know, I mean, it's never too late. It, you can always grow and expand, and, you know, people do move at their own pace.
Well, the chakras are as much related to karma and karmic debt as they are to our reflection of our physical plane of our body.
You know? I'll actually explain that a little bit later.
Yeah, I want to talk about that
quite a bit. Something that I do have to say, again, off that one school of thought, you also have other schools of thoughts where people don't get fully awakened to Sahasrara until the age of about 35, 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
So there's a very wide range of where this goes. But when, because as Andreelle was saying before, there is like a karmic debt that goes on, and how things can actually be held on for a little longer than you kind of anticipated for.
Yes, and I definitely want to continue talking about that right after this. All right, and we're back. Thanks for, you know, hanging in there, guys. And we're going to continue to talk about chakras and also what it has to do with karmic debt.
Yeah, so we do have a saying that we all go to, that karma is coming for you, or karma is just there to really give due to where things need to be.
Though karma is not a linear thing, we want to stress that enough, friends. So a lot of people, they say, you know, I do good things all my life, and then, you know, bad people are, you know, the ones running the world. It's because karma doesn't work, again, on a linear line sort of way of thinking. It works in a wide variety of ways that, again, are akin to, like, quantum physics.
And it's not a bank account. It's not like you can be like, I have 3,000 karma points saved up, so, you know, I can do something that's not so great, and it'll be fine. I have enough.
Yeah, this isn't that, it isn't that, like, Rick and Morty episode where, like, this is the 10th, like, adventure. Like, you have to punch my card, and I get to choose the adventure now.
I mean, I don't know. I have accumulated quite an immense amount of good karma in my day, and I spent it. That's going to be left to just the three of us for now.
Yeah, and
unless, of course, you invest in our Patreon.
Wow.
We will gladly expose Ignatius's life.
Wow.
For the small price of $9.99 a month.
Extra Patreon perk you didn't know about. Surprise! No, I'm just kidding.
Ruin people's lives! Yay! So.
For only $10.
Okay. Anywho. Yes, I'm going to be doing that as a shot game right now. Anywho.
That's the shot game word of the night, friends.
Anywho. Yep. Three. All right? So, karmic debt is very real, and if you think that you're outside of it, you're probably just reaping past ancestors' bank accounts, if we want to call it that. Okay? The karmic debts that, or the karma that goes about in the world, even with your own personal karma, that is to be said where your chakras actually hold certain memories within you. And these memories can be from things that happened within your early life, just last week, could be even from another lifetime. So if you do have like a bad luck streak per se, you might want to delve into some kind of seance to see what your ancestors kind of screwed you over with, because you got to find a way to correct per se of that debt.
Or if it's a string of bad luck, you might also be a changeling. Cough, cough, Don and Carrie.
Oh, that also it references actually what we were talking about with Mystic Yatcha in the not the last episode, but the second to last episode. So,
yes,
With genetic memory.
Yes, genetic memory,
which is why people probably have memories and even things that are deeply rooted in their subconscious that may have been appropriate, thousands of years ago, but might not be appropriate now.
And you know what's really interesting is today. I happened to listen to a Myths and Legends episode about Indian folklore and legends.
You mean Native American folklore?
No, Indian. Like,
no.
Oh, like actual
Indian.
From India?
Yeah, no, okay. like mainland India. Like, yeah. Like, they're
Come
talking
on,
about...
Man, we're not illiterate.
I just need clarification.
Yes. No, definitely. Thanks. It's important to get those correct. So, yes, Indian. They're actually, he was talking about like Krishna and Vishnu, and there was two gatekeepers for Vishnu that actually they didn't let these certain children gods in, and so they got in trouble, and the little children gods cursed them to mortality. But in the last instant, they begged Vishnu to lift the curse. But the most he could do was either give them 7 lifetimes away from him of being good human beings, or they could have 3 lifetimes away from him being his, like, basically ultimate enemy and demons that sought to destroy him. So they couldn't bear being away from him for too long, so they picked the 3 lifetimes. Now, as the story goes on, every time the person... was reincarnated as a demon king or something else, as they were being killed, they could vaguely see, I forget what it's called, but the, like, version of heaven, basically. They could see Vishnu, and then they could see it, and they could see the other gatekeeper, and they knew vaguely that they had some other life that wasn't this evil, destructive life. And every life that went on, they got closer and closer to... being with Vishnu again, and they could see where they'd come from. They could see who they were. And in their last lifetime, as they were about to die, they remembered their old names. They remembered what happened, and then they were taken back to Vishnu. So that's really cool that I happened to hear that today on the day that we're recording this episode, which, you know, inspired by Myths and Legends, I really do listen to that podcast a lot, and I love the things that he talks about. It brings about some unknown folklore, which is really cool. And, you know, it's good to connect to the things that you can read. And I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I think you guys should listen to it. It's cool.
Yeah, definitely. We'll take a look at that at some point. So these karmic debts, as we were talking about before, just plain karma. I do say I kind of am doing a little excessive with karmic debts because it's not always per se. But anyway,
To sum it up, I suppose.
Yeah, to sum it up, chakras, your chakras actually have that memory bank of things that you've done, experiences that you've gone through, even through past lives that have gone, which is also our lineage, and also some theories off of that we can access our ancestry through our own DNA.
Oh,
as
yeah,
to past memories through our own DNA.
Again, yes, yeah, genetic memory.
And this actually is off of the wonderful belief, or not belief, the wonderful collection of Assassin's Creed, where they go off of that quite a bit.
Yes.
But it's actually being researched now. So if, let's say you are someone who is kind of down in your luck, let's talk a little bit for each of the chakras as to what might be going on, if anything of your immediate, in your immediate actions and what you can do to atone, per se. So the first chakra, which is Muladhara, is having to deal with fear. It is blocked by fear. And that is something for you to figure out with what are you afraid of and to really acknowledge it. Each of these things have to do with some kind of acknowledgement, but is normally blocked by fear. And it deals with survival. Then you go up to Svadhisthana, the sacral chakra, the second chakra. And it's blocked by guilt, and it deals with pleasure. third one is dealing with shame. It makes sense because the third chakra is dealing with your own confidence and shame.
Self-esteem, pride. Mm-hmm.
And it deals with willpower. The fourth chakra, Anahata, deals with your heart. And this is deals with love, but it is blocked by grief. What is something that you've been grieving, or how are you grief-stricken? Then the fifth chakra, Vishuddha, is actually pretty straightforward. It deals with communication, deals with truth, and is blocked by lies. Your sixth chakra, Ajna, third eye, and it's dealing with insight, as we were talking about foresight.
Uh-huh.
And is blocked by illusion. Just think of it like a veil, per se, like over your own. I swear. You're going to get an uppercut, Courtney.
But it's not Christmas anymore.
I second this. Fine, an uppercut for Easter.
Right? Now, Valentine's Day, here you go. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
I prefer to say the Italian way, Dio de San Valentino. It's got a little bit more more of an exposition there. We will do an episode about that at some point, but continue.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Sahasrara is the seventh chakra, your crown chakra. Now, this is having to do with cosmic energy, feeling one with everything. Anything, everyone, absolutely everything, and is blocked by ego attachment or any kind of attachment. Is there anything that you're holding on to, something, someone, when it's pointless to impede our relationships with the divine?
Very cool. I like that. It's very straightforward, and I like that you compared what hinders it to kind of what happens when you correct that. Mm-hmm. That's really cool, so people know exactly what they're dealing with.
Yes, and more to add. And again, we're being as as Cliff Notes versions of this as we can be, friends, because this is such an elaborate system. There's a reason why it's existed since antiquity.
There's a reason why I pulled out a tome that is over 900 pages of blah 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 blah.
And we're not going to get through all of those.
And that's
today.
Still just, I mean, only a few schools of thought that came together into her perception.
Exactly. Yes. This is her research of, I think, between, what is it, 40, 50 years of research. Like, it's no joke when I say it is pretty complete.
Yeah.
In that own regard.
And we should express thanks, friends, because all the work that were done by these people, we need to honor.
Yes.
And which is why we so often reference books, and we invite you to go and read their work and interpret things in your own way. But, so, to continue on, this summary is actually by the Reiki master, and the master that actually attuned me to Reiki, Kate Gajewski. If you are familiar with this woman, she is a lovely young lady, Reiki master, and an amazing healer, and very intuitive and knowledgeable on these subjects. She will actually be on a later episode when we discuss Reiki.
You're going to go over each chakra?
Yeah? Yes, very quickly.
Individually? Okay.
Yes, so... the location, obviously the root chakra, again, is based at the tailbone. The element is earth. Usually concerned with things like survival, physical needs, your tribal or familial association, stability, your grounding, your connection to the earth, the primal sides, the feminine aspect. The feminine aspect in the physical sense, not necessarily... Well,
in the earthy sense.
In the earthy sense. The fight or flight response is also governed by this chakra. This helps function physically your skin, your bones and skeletal structure, your reproductive glands, your spine, your kidneys, and if you are a man, your sex organs tend to be governed a bit more by the root chakra than the sacral chakra. Now, they are both governed, but the females are more governed by the sacral chakra than the males are. Think about this in the sense that, okay, we actually have external genitalia that tends to hang a little bit lower, and our glands hang lower than the ovaries, which are closer to the sacral chakra.
Yeah, it's all about placement.
You know, if you think about that, it makes sense why male sexuality is more conducive to their stability, whereas female sexuality is more for an emotional connection, why women statistically can do without sex more than men, and why male sex, you know, again, tribal association, stability, primal. Grounding, primal, fight or flight. You know, so it makes sense that these things combine the way they do. Examples of imbalance are tension in the legs, your circulation issues, imbalanced sexual attitudes, lower back, hip and pelvic pain, stiff ankles or joints. You know, these things to keep in mind. You know, there are plenty of types of meditation that you can do. Drum meditation, never do that alone, though, especially if you're new to it. That can give you some crazy visions. Just be careful. Disclaimer. Physical things are also, you know, things like reflexology or yoga, you know, things that deal with the lower half of your body. Things like that can help heal on a physical level. And, you know, obviously, you know, metaphysical, you know, there's different types of meditation and there are spells that we can also recommend.
Here's a little bit of a fun thing for you. If you're one that is very physical, very active, whether you're doing weightlifting, sports, blah, blah, you're going to, if you want to delve into the chakras to help you out with those things, meditate on the first chakra. It'll help ground you and it'll help improve immense amount of balance and ergo improve your kind of performance.
Yes, very much so. In fact, we do that personally with whatever it is we're doing. If we're singing, we think about the, you know, gazing ourselves in a light blue. If we're doing our workouts, we encase ourselves anywhere from the red to like the to the yellow. The sacral chakra, which has to do with water, located below the belly button, you know, by the sacrum, right above the genitalia. Concerned with emotional balance, your deepest, darkest emotions, sexuality, procreation, passion, and creativity. See why these things are closely related, friends. These function with the adrenal glands, the immune system, metabolism, the kidneys, the hips, the bladder, water regulation. That one makes sense because obviously, you know, we release water through our genitalia. Mm-hmm. So it's an easy way to literally, you know, function, yeah, function, yes, the physical with the metaphysical, and sexual function and sex organs. Examples of imbalance are you ignoring your feelings or feeling overly emotional. There's a difference between overactive and underactive, friends. Obviously, underactive is a lack of energy, whereas overactive is you're moving way too fast, way too intense, and you're going to burn out. Usually when a lot of your chakras are overactive or you're spent in certain areas, that's usually when you might come across a fracture or a break where the deities literally just halt you. Or you attract things, you know, from a quantum physics standpoint that cause, you know, the body of mass to halt.
Actually, as a small little side thing for that one, as we were talking about the, what's it called? The under and overactive aspect. I do remember that over the summer, I was actually having quite the strain within the third eye. And the reason why I know of this, because there was an immediate switch, almost like a hot coffee cup hitting a granite, cold granite counter, and it just cracks, okay? And I know this happened because I was so fixated on a certain thing over the summer. And then that same day, like previous day, all my chakra stones were completely fine. The next day, the third eye chakra, the Ajna stone, actually cracked in half. And that was the same day that I had that mental relief of just that sudden change from overactive to almost underactive. So
it's amazing. Examples of imbalance also are you feel disconnected from your sensuality. You feel stuck in your own head, usually a lot of depression. A lot of modern ideas of depression are connected with this. Having too much self-discipline, you know, self-discipline to a fault, sex addiction, or fearful of pleasure. Now, for the next one, I will let Courtney reference the next one so we bounce around so you don't get too used to my voice.
Thank you, even though you have a lovely voice. So the next one is the solar plexus. So your location is above the navel and below your breastbone, associated with fire, like we had mentioned. This is concerned with your personal power and inner strength. Again, that fire in your belly, becoming non-judgmental of yourself and others, finding our truth, honoring gut feelings. So it is still related to intuition in that way. And then being authentic. So this has to do with authenticity. Your functions and your body system that the solar plexus chakra is relative to. The digestive system. So if you ever have any digestive issues, things like that, it could be that your solar plexus chakra is in need of some loving care. You have, it also has to do with the sympathetic nervous system. So your fight or flight response, as we mentioned, muscles, a nervous system, organs like your large intestine, stomach, adrenal glands, pancreas, liver, and lungs. So it really does have to do with a lot of different parts of your body. And then, so if you do have an imbalance in your solar plexus, things you might be, you know, that might be happening to you are being angry, feeling helpless. You can't seem to finish tasks or complete them. You have low self-esteem, and you might have some stomach issues.
Yes, a good way to remedy this on a metaphysical level, you know, candle meditation, sitting around a fire, meditation around a fire. Also, you know, reevaluating your passion and creativity. You know, these two, you know, they go together incredibly, you know, with the second chakra as well. You know, the first two chakras are very intertwined. They are who they are separately, but they are who they are together. You know, the two groups of three, and then the heart in the center being the most different because it's the gateway. Things that can relax your stomach, you know, eating things that are good and can relax your stomach. There are things like ginger or herbs and elements that associate with these particular body parts can help you regulate these things. Self-analyzation. The sacral chakra can also, you know, I neglected to say, can be fixed by sitting in water, communicating with water, you know, that particular element. Scrying in water. If you want to be really adventurous, the tantra is a way to, learn depending on comfort level, learning how to deal with things from a sexual standpoint, though they are not mutually exclusive. They, you know, they do intertwine together. There are reasons for this.
And the solar plexus then, I mean, I would say that you could do some kind of safe fire healing, maybe like divination with candle flames, things like that. Obviously like not bathing in fire. That's weird and scary.
If you actually remember a while back when we did a podcast for the vacation one,
yes.
I ended up saying some things, saying some divinations that were
fire-based
and off of something that can be done there on the spot. So obviously my area was around a camp, so we actually we did campfires twice a week, and as I said in that episode, and I'll say it again to say I will man the fire, that you could actually have an opportunity to do some pyromancy, look at the embers, look into the flames, see what it is that you can do to commune with that.
Yeah, so there are definitely safe ways to work with that element to help align that chakra. And the next chakra is the heart chakra, or Anahata. So this is located in the center of your chest, as we mentioned, and has to do with air. It's also concerned with unconditional love, giving and receiving, and compassion. Functions include your heart and thymus, your blood pressure. I'm sure people can understand how that has to do with your heart as well. It all goes through your circulatory system, your lymphatic system, and your immune system. And as can be noticed, a lot of these systems are really imbalanced in people, I would say, nowadays. You know, you notice a lot that people have issues with their lymph nodes or their immune system, and they have deficiencies or diseases that
early onset, like fibromyalgia, yeah. Things like mm-hmm. that. We actually had a friend who dealt with that, and, you know, actually reflexology actually helped her, you know, because it promotes circulation, you know, working from yes. the down up. There's working from the down up, and then there's working from the up down, and there are reasons for doing either, friends.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so again, not everything is going to be a fix-all, but it definitely could help to focus on chakras and see how to align them to at least make sure that they're in order and really help yourself through these conditions. So imbalances would be heart or lung disease. And, you know, interesting going back to genetic memory, I actually have a lot of heart disease in my family. So I wonder if that's something that's kept in our genetic memory or our familial karma or something.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that myself, with everyday kind of genetic kind of diseases that are going on, mm-hmm. it starts to make you wonder, well, what did great-great-great-grandma mm-hmm. do to piss off the deities?
Hey, you never know. Other things that are a sign of imbalance are sadness, lack of empathy for others and yourself, and also stress. I mean, granted, we all have stress. There's normal, acceptable levels of stress, but there's stress that causes physical ailments, and you know, it's detrimental. It's not just normal stress. So that's kind of what it is referencing.
So yes, things to do to heal your heart. I mean, I, as a musician, do this quite often. Listen to music, read poetry, allow yourself to feel, friends. Allow yourself to feel your emotions. Let them run their course. Letting them run their course doesn't mean they're going to win. A lot of people are afraid to feel because they're afraid that their depression will take over and that they'll, you know, a lot of people are afraid of being suicidal nowadays. This isn't, you know, this is a very serious topic. But take it from me is that letting your emotions run their course is, truth be told, the only way to get them to, you know, be the winds of change, take you and roll out of you. Let them do what needs to be done, because if you repress them, they'll just come out of you in a worse way. And that might actually lead to you hurting yourself a bit more. Is it instant pain or is it slow pain over time? Is it, you know, what kind of pain is it? What is it wrapped into? You know, there are so many things to keep in mind. So yeah, you know, music, anything that makes your heart feel, watch a sad movie, watch thing, you know, allow yourself, or if you want to feel different emotions, you know, it's whatever it is you're trying to communicate with, but also your heart is your center. You know, it's definitely an easy thing to meditate on. I'd argue that it's the least abstract out of all of the chakras.
Yes, without a doubt. And actually, Andrea, you touched on something that I would love to do as an entire episode, and an episode on fear, yes, and how to deal with it, because fear is such a crippling kind of emotion, and it's something that a lot of people don't know how to deal with.
Very much so. I think that we could actually reference your one of your favorite early reads. Isn't The True Source of Healing by Tenzin? Tenzin, what's his last name? He's
alluding, a Buddhist monk. Yes, it's eluding me right now, only because your cousin still has it that we got to kick his butt for to actually do the meditation.
Yeah, he needs to get hit with a stunner. Vin, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. yes, the heart, you know, the heart's... Always, I will say this, is that, you know, and I don't know if this was channeled to me from a higher, you know, power. I always believe these things are when these things come to me. Is that the heart can make the mind think, but the mind cannot make the heart feel. Always remember that, friends.
I like that. Now continuing up the body to the throat chakra. So Vishuddha.
This Vishuddha.
Is Vishuddha.
It's not shh.
The S and the H are usually separate in Sanskrit, aren't they?
Yeah, in Sanskrit, Vishuddha. As far as I know. However, actually, I do have a friend who delves quite a bit into Sanskrit and the Buddhist and Kabbalah and everything like that, and even Kundalini rise off the Asian aspects. She herself is quite the spiritualist in that aspect. I would love to get her opinion on this. So maybe I can get her on the podcast at some point.
Yes, that would be really cool. And of course, I mean, if anyone would ever like to fill us in on, you know, just corrections, things like that. I did have someone correct us on a few things that I will include in an episode really soon. Thank you. She knows who she is for, you know, giving us some extra information and clarity on the Yule episode. So I'll make that like a little extra thing for her. So with the throat chakra, this is located around your neck and your shoulder region. The element of sound, as we mentioned, it's concerned with communication, self-expression, and will. So the functions associated with your throat chakra are metabolism, calcium regulation, your respiratory system, your thyroid and parathyroid, the trachea, mouth, teeth, gums, esophagus, and ears. So all things located in that area. And I would say that a lot of that does make sense. And I think this is also something that is affecting a lot of people. An imbalance of the throat chakra, of communication. I mean, I see it all the time. And usually people are very well-intentioned. But I think communication is definitely lacking to have yourself be heard correctly and have others understand you. And, you know, to make sure that you're communicating effectively and that you're listening effectively as well. Imbalances or indications of imbalance at your throat chakra are disease and discomfort in the throat and ear region. So maybe chronic ear infections, things like that.
Something that an ENT doctor would literally be involved in, that entire area.
Yeah. Thyroid issues, excessive talking or fear of speaking, and the inability to listen.
I'd argue that most people are either having one or the other, so it's a real rarity if that this chakra is balanced, especially in the younger generations.
And it is possible, too, that at certain points in your life, you will be more or less balanced, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. It just means that this is a period in your life where you have to get back to center and really focus on balancing that chakra.
Big things that can help balance this, I mean, like, again, music, you know, sound,
Listening,
practicing listening exercises, listening to other people, having healthy debates with people, allowing yourself to be expressive. I mean, write things down too. It doesn't really make sense that the throat chakra, you figured like actual sound and stimulus, but communication in general. So don't be afraid to write, journal, even if nobody's going to see it, or if you want people to see it, you do that. You know, write down your thoughts. You know, meditating obviously on the color, you know, the light blue, sky blue, royal blue.
That also goes to say as well with if you are in those spirited debates and everything like that, don't let ego take hold. Admit when you're wrong.
Yes, that actually, it'll help you much more than it'll hurt you, friends.
Yeah, and you'll feel a lot better, I think. So on to the next one is your third eye. Is that Anja, you said?
Third eye, Ajna.
Ajna. Oh, okay, because it's A-N-J-A?
It's A-J-N-A.
Yeah.
It's just spelled differently sometimes. Yeah. Okay, so it's Ajna. Okay.
I hear more it as Ajna.
Ajna.
As opposed to Anja.
Okay, that's fair. Just one of those things. And, I mean, I also know a lot with Indian history, it's so diverse that sometimes it can be hard to come to one solid conclusion on something. So there's different versions. So this is located in the center of your brow where your third eye is, your pineal gland. This is the element of light. And it's concerned with intuition, wisdom, and creative intelligence. And
the divine feminine, as we stated.
Yes, yes. And some of the functions, like I said, is your pineal gland and pituitary gland. Your eyes and your brain, so literal sight and also visionary sight, your hormonal and psychological regulation, and endocrine or hormone and gland and nervous systems.
Now, and here's where things get a little interesting, friends, because, you know, especially in regards to, you know, we talk about sight. I mean, a lot of us nowadays have dealt with, you know, being either near or far-sighted or whatever they diagnose anybody as. But also, you know, if you look in antiquity, a lot of people with open third eyes actually are blind. So here's where things start getting a little complicated, you know?
Well, it didn't say it has to do with eyes. It didn't say that you had to see.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's quite fascinating. So it's really how one person's success might transmute as another person's blight. You know?
Yes. And I always make a joke that because I have really terrible eyesight, that if I lived in a time before glasses and contacts were a thing, that I would have just been some like soothsayer in a tent somewhere, because I wouldn't have been able to go very far with my limited vision. And so I would have made it work for me and just used my intuitive skills to get me by. So some examples of an imbalance with your third eye are headaches and migraines, eye and sinus problems, hormonal fluctuations, and sleepiness or disturbing dreams.
Yeah. Excessively bad, repetitive dreams. I mean, dreams always tell you everything. You know, we talk about a narromancy, which I think we still have yet to do an episode about that. We need to do that.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, our topic of the occult is so vast and never ending that
eventually
we will do it.
We'll get to it eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually. And now, finally, if you
yeah,
don't
you want to take it back? Go for it. You can finish this off.
The Sahasrara. The thousand petaled. Thank you, Ignatius. The thousand petaled flower of life.
Also known as the lotus.
Yes. Lotus. Obviously, you can meditate with lotus incense to help balance this. So that one's pretty obvious.
And I feel like it's really easy to get your hands on, so that's really cool.
Very mundane.
This is connected with spirituality, relationship to the universal source, connectedness to humanity, higher learning, psychic abilities. Now, obviously, these work in tandem with the sixth chakra. The night and day, one cannot exist without the other. The brightest light casts the longest shadow. Divine masculine. It's also who you are in relation to others around you, as well as the universe around you. The functions of the brain and pineal gland as well. Central nervous system producing melatonin releases ego-driven, self-created identity, liberates wisdom. Examples of imbalance are constant headaches, constant vertigo, dizziness, exhaustion, closed-mindedness, inability to understand another person's point of view, skepticism to a fault. Obviously, a healthy dose of skepticism is what, you know, helps us separate fact from fantasy, friends. Not that life is not fanatical. I will also say
fantastical.
What did I say? Fanatical.
Fanatical.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
Fantastical.
One thing that needs to keep, a big thing that I always see with people who have underactive or flat out non-existent crown chakras. This actually happened once through a chakra healing session. I noticed one of my friends, their seventh chakra was dead. It was non-existent. It was.
No, that wasn't mine. That was someone else.
That was.
Mine was very underactive.
No, yeah, that wasn't yours. I wasn't implying you.
No, I actually had to think about that because I did go through a moment in my life where it was really underactive.
Active. It was the most underactive part of you for a while. Well, the biggest thing that made it easy to notice, actually with Ignatius, we did a candle divination and he held his hands over each. He was asking questions and he held his hands over each candle that had to do with a particular chakra. And then when he got over the seventh chakra, he snapped over it and the flame burned him and went out. It was very interesting, a very unique situation. I've noticed that people with that kind of underactive chakra, people with a balanced seventh chakra, they tend to know how to vibe with other people's vibes in the sense that their personality will adjust to be able to create a harmonious relationship with the other person or the other people that they are interacting with at the time. Whereas people with underactive chakras, their personality is the same no matter who they're with, and that can cause a dissonance. These are things to keep in mind. Now, the seven and the one are very connected. They are the opposites. They are the poles. You know, but they all work together. Think about the spectrum of sound, the spectrum of music, which we will cover in a later episode. So there are plenty of things to keep in mind. Before we finish this up, is there anything else you wish to cover via the tome or your own opinions, Ignatius?
Yes, there's actually one more thing that I want to say. And if you want to do any kind of exercises, even though that we did kind of sprinkle it throughout, I guess it has come to the point where every time I'm on the podcast, I give you some kind of exercise to do, huh?
Yeah.
Hey,
that's a good thing.
So here's your something, gimmick. My little gimmick, my gimmick to you. So we do have, as Andrea was saying before, we are going to be delving at some point into sounds and the chakras. So how about this? We'll give you a little bit of a preface to it, where we have some sounds or words that you say and you kind of meditate on. If you've noticed that quite often, as I guess in Hollywood media would portray it with meditating, they do some kind of spoken word.
Mantra, right?
Some kind of mantra or just like one word like om. Well, there are some validations towards it. The first chakra, Muladhara, is off of the word Lam. And that is to be sung or at least at a straight tone of C. Note C on that. You have...
Middle C, most middle C, notably. Yeah. Middle C, so you think the piano, friends, so that's C4.
Mm-hmm. Then you have Svadhisthana, which is the word Vam with a V, Vam. and that is on the note D on the piano. So that would be D4. Then you have your Manipura, which is Ram, R-A-M, and that is on E. If you are a musician, I'm sure you have pretty much figured it out already. But the fourth chakra, Anahata, is Yam, Y-A-M, on the note F. You have the fifth chakra, Vishuddha, and you have that on Ham, H-A-M. You have that on the note G, G4. These are the positionings on it, if you don't know about it, of 4, 1, blah, blah. It's fine. It's not that pertinent to it, but it is optimal. Going on to Ajna, you have your classic of what you hear in Hollywood, Om, O-M. And you sit on that on the note A, A4. Then you have, last but not least, Sahasrara. This normally has a breathy sound to it, but is actually known for the, like, an internal kind of buzzing. And this, I can most easily describe it by just saying, putting the letters together, NG. So going ng. So just having that out on the B.
More emphasis on the end versus the hard G at the end, for friends. That sort of guttural ending will be taxing on your voice.
Exactly. So you want to be having it almost like a nasality when you're meditating on that. So these are different things that are going to be going on. And there are hand signs that go with it, but that's for a later time. But if you're to just vocalize things like this and focus on that chakra, it'll help balance it a little bit more. Until next time, though.
Thank you so much. That was a great exercise to finish up on. And, as we've mentioned, there's definitely more to cover, but this is a pretty good, I would say, start to discussing chakras. So thank you so much for joining us, Ignatius.
You're very welcome. May your inner furnaces ever burn brighter.
To give you folks some things to look forward to, we were going to be having a wide variety of guests in newer episodes that are coming up. Soon, I referenced that you will. I'm hoping I've confirmed it with her. Unless she wants to hit me with a stone cold stunner and decides to deny at the last second, my Reiki master Kate Gajewski will be on discussing Reiki, and we will start a trialogue about that.
Yes, one of our many mini-sodes within our podcast.
Yes. We will also be bringing on people who have a wide variety of magic in the pirate era. So we will discuss things that connect with all sorts of spirituality there. Mm-hmm. We might speak of past lives. We're going to have a wide variety of guests that will have different opinions. Who else did we want to bring on? I'm missing a person that we wanted to bring on at some point.
There's a couple people. Some people from the coven as well are also welcome to join us whenever they like. And if there is something that you want to share and you'd like to try to be on the podcast, just let us know. We can work something out. We actually recently were on Sack 'em Up Sundays. So as soon as we hear the release date for that, we'll let you know. And we're also going to be on That's Weird. So I haven't listened to their latest episode, so sorry, girls. But I will catch up and let you know if it's that one. But we're going to have one of our, our promo thing recorded on there. And hopefully we get to work with them in the future. I'd like to do an episode with them. Of course, we have all our other friends. We have two Hexy Mamas, a Paranormal Chicks. And hopefully we'll get another Spellmance with the Homance Girls soon.
That'd be great. I love the Homance Girls.
It was the best.
they got some balls, some iron ovaries.
Exactly. So yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. And thank you for really being such good sports about the whole Anchor sponsorship thing now. It really does help the podcast a lot, and it
money only makes the world go round, friends.
Yeah, and it only takes about a minute, so we promise that we'll pick entertaining sponsorship, so at least you get to listen to something cool or interesting.
I suppose I can make it much more cryptic and symbolic, and I'll just be the man at the crossroad that says, well, not comes free, friends.
Yes, yeah. All magic comes at a price, right, guys? So thank you very much. And we just started our teachings on tarot class. Today was the first lesson, so that's really exciting. This podcast is going to be broadcasted after the start, but, you know, it happened today, which is January 19th. So if you want to look out for that, it's going to be up and running in the Spellcast podcast group. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Witchy Page, and also on Twitter at Spellcast Pod. We also accept emails, so witchypage@gmail.com or andreelle@gmail.com. And if you have any specific questions for Ignatius, you can reach him at ignatius@gmail.com.
And we all have our own specialities that can help you out. So if you go with your intuitions, see what happens.
Yes, exactly. And reach out to any of us. Don't feel, you know, shy or anything. We love hearing from you guys. And if you'd like to join the Patreon and help support the show, you can always go to patreon.com/spellcast. And if you'd like to give us a review, you can go to Apple Podcasts and review Spellcast on there. And if you listen to it on the Apple Podcast app or on Anchor, also, you know, give us a review, a like, and let us know what you think. So thank you so much. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And of course, the spirits live in the mirror.